We're off. Welcome back. Card Knock Life, episode 67. I'm Corey. He's Daryl.
Yeah, something like that.
All I want to do today is just talk about Drakehaven for an hour and a half.
I mean, I know you have a cycling EDH, right? Is that a thing you have?
Yeah, I do have a cycling EDH, but I'm like so excited about all of the excitement that this brings to like the standard world and even like potentially for modern. But like this card like just generates so many ideas for brewing for me, and I'm sure that a lot of people are thinking the same way. Obviously, it's like the card that makes like this engine go for, you know, the standard deck that is going to formulate around this blue-white cycling.
But, I mean, like, I'm gonna stop you for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, viewers, in case you didn't know, Corey wants to talk about the spoilers. So we're going to talk about the spoilers for like an hour. Okay, thanks, guys. Proceed.
Yeah, so if you're not interested in spoilers, you can skip ahead to the last 5 minutes of the cast where we actually talk about the Star City Games Open. Which was Legacy. Daryl's going to talk, and probably at that point, I will be out of breath because of this cycling excitement. You know, Daryl, I think that this is going to get me back into Standard, and for a long time, I was thinking, how awesome would it be to build a blue, black, and white, like, Esper Standard, like, cycling control deck? Whereas, like, you know, you've got, like, these Temur Tower decks right now in Standard, where Temur Tower is, like, the win condition. It's, like, 1/3 mana non-creature permanent that is, like, the win condition. I think Drakehaven could be the win condition now. And you're playing cards like the 4-mana, like, Exile and Online Permanent with Cycling. You're playing, like, the Renewed Faith, like, that kind of stuff. Of course, the lands. And then today, there are two counter spells spoiled that have Cycling. Or counter target spell unless the controller plays so-and-so mana that have cycling.
What's the other one? I mean, I know Sensor was one of the ones I wanted to talk about.
Or maybe, okay, so I take that back. There is one counter spell that was spoiled that has cycling. There was another counter spell spoiled that does not have cycling, but is good.
so this counter spell that was spoiled with cycling.
Yeah, let's start there.
Sensor. Instant, one and a blue. Counter target spell unless its controller pays one cycling for blue. So, a lot of people underestimate how powerful cycling for a single mana is. If you haven't played cycling before with Astral Slide and stuff like that. Like, back when Astral Slide was a big deal, people played this card that was like, had literal no text on it for the Astral Slide deck. It was like, target creature gains protection from a color of its own or from a color of your choice till end of turn. That cycled for a white. So literally for those decks, it literally just said white cycle, and they played it. So for there to be a card in the same color as Drakehaven that actually has text against like turn 4 Gideon allies in the car, and then also has the text one and a blue become a 2/2 Drake and draw a card, like that's really, really, really good.
Well, it's a card that happens to be live against literally everything, but when you draw it late game, it's like, okay, what am I going to do with this? And you pitch it. You cycle it. Whereas that's like the problem with like Mana Leak. You have Mana Leak sitting in your hand like in modern, like turn like 7 or 8, you know? And it's like, oh, this does nothing for me. And it's like literally a dead draw. But Sensor, you do not mind drawing because you literally just cycle it for the most minimal drawback of one blue mana, having to tap one blue mana to just draw the next card off the top of your deck.
Yep. You can also do that at instant speed. So, you know, if your opponent is playing the game such that it doesn't matter, ship it. Who cares? Just
wee. Now there might be some benefits to cycling too, and let's consider those things. So first of all, Drakehaven I mentioned, I might as well talk about it. I'm sure you've all heard about it by now, but it's 2 and a blue. This is the card that Daryl was asking for last week. We want an Astral Slide, we got
Drakehaven.
No,
it's not. This card's not Astral Slide.
This is the alternative. This is what you get instead, Daryl. Astral Slide's not gonna happen, I'm sorry. But this is the 3-mana enchantment that says whenever you cycle or discard a card. Oh, in fact, I didn't even notice that part. Whenever you discard a card, okay, there's something to consider.
Yeah.
You may pay one colorless mana. If you do, or one generic mana, excuse me. If you do, create a 2/2 blue Drake token with flying. So that turns all of your cycling into instant speed Sea Drake cantrip. Not bad at all. In fact, they're even better than Sea Drakes if you're playing cards like this one that has one blue mana cost or one blue mana symbol in the cycling cost.
Yep. So no, cards great. I want Astral Slide. Give me Astral Slide.
Yeah, well, I get you.
Can they give me Astral Slide in the second set?
Right, well, it's like, you kind of have to assume, like, this card, like, sort of shortcuts Astral Slide in a way. And I know that it's not Astral Slide, don't get me wrong. But in some respects, it shortcuts Astral Slide, because it's like saying Astral Slide plus a creature for it to target, like Blade Splicer or something that blinks and like puts a creature into play. You know, like this card doesn't need the creature in order to abuse it. You know what I'm saying? So you don't need to run any creatures in the decks. It's a total different deck that you can build.
Yeah, but Astral Slide protects you way better than Drakehaven does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Because you can blink your opposing creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true. But you can spam just a ton of 2/2s. Unfortunately, the 2/2s don't stand up super well in Standard right now. They don't stand up against anything.
They don't beat anything.
But they do attack pretty well.
Sure. But I'm just sad that it's not.
And they pilot vehicles.
They do crew the Kieran.
Now, that is a 3-mana enchantment. So like I mentioned, I do have an EDH deck that's Xur the Enchanter, searches for Astral Slide. This is another benefit to run that. I think that EDH cycling, like Fluctuator, Astral Slide, like blue, black, white, is just like bonkers after this set comes out. So I'm really happy about that.
I got you one better. I played with one of the guys that I play EDH with on Fridays. He had a 5-color Progenitus Astral Slide deck.
Uh-huh.
Life from the Loam plus Cycling Lands plus the Gitrog Monster is real dumb.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
it is dumb.
Played a turn where he played the Gitrog Monster, casted Life from the Loam, cycled 2 lands, dredged Life from the Loam, and drew 5 cards. And it had a 6/6, and I'm just like, it's a good thing all of your cards just cycle, because if those are actual cards, I couldn't beat them.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's my other EDH deck, actually, Gitrog Monster. That's a lot of fun to play. A lot of Dirtle, that's what it does, but it's fun. Now
I'm on my way to Dirtle Town as well with EDH. I'm building, like, Brea Eggs.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. It's not going to Dirtle. Yeah, do nothing for a while.
So going back to the comment of the benefits of cycling a card versus just drawing the card, drawing the next card off the top of your deck. Putting cards in your graveyard, there are lots of advantages to that as well. So you have to consider, like, there are lots of different card types that have cycling. So this is a good way to power up your Delirium really fast in strategies that don't otherwise, like, do that very well. So. Right. Look into, like, Delirium cards that, like, are not in your typical green-black colors. Like, there are lots of Delirium spells that...
I have an answer for you right now.
Excuse me?
I have an answer for you right now.
All right, let's hear it.
Descend Upon the Sinful.
There, that's a great one. That's one I was just looking at, actually. 4 white-white for a sorcery, exile all creatures is the front end of it. And then Delirium, you get a 4/4 white angel token on the battlefield. That would be an easy one to power up with a land that you discard, a sorcery... and an instant that has cycling. But then there are a couple of creatures that you can cycle as well from Amonkhet, and that's like there's a black rare creature that you can cycle.
You could just cycle Cast Out?
Or an enchantment, exactly.
Yeah.
So Cast Out's one enchantment. So you to diversify a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. you're stretching for creatures, and, like, there's the 4/4 flyer that cycles and scries when you cycle, I think.
I don't know that I'm stretching for creatures. I think this guy's playable. This Archfiend.
I mean, I think you could stay in 2 colors with your blue-white control deck.
Okay, possibly. All right. So here's the second one, though. Here's the second one. This is another card I wanted to talk about today. 2 blue-blue for a 4/4 flying. Already on curve, right? Whenever you or fairly costly, I should say, not on curve. It says, whenever you cycle or discard another card, scry 1. And then it's got 1 blue mana cost for cycling. That's Curator of Mysteries. Have you seen this guy? It's a Sphinx. Oh,
Curator of the Mysteries. I have seen this card.
This doesn't seem bad. Again,
it's acceptable.
Blue cycling cost. This could be like the like 1 or 2 creatures that you play in your deck in like a control build.
I can see this guy just being a 4 of, and then you don't need a 4/4, you cycle it.
All right, exactly. So yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't hurt, right?
No.
Are there any other incentives to play, or any other Delirium incentives? Like there is
Descendant of Not that I can think of.
Pick the brains in the sideboard if you're going black. Toppelgeist is interesting. Doesn't really fit in this deck.
Manic Scribe, I think, for Delirium. That card's not good.
Let's see. Scourge Wolf is in red. Totally different kind of deck. But Scourge Wolf is a card that hasn't really seen the light of day, but certainly has potential to be a player here. Red for a 2/2 first strike. Delirium, it has double strike. And I think that potentially, well, I don't know. There maybe isn't a lot of cycling in red.
I think cycling is too slow.
Too slow. All right.
Yeah. Cycling is too slow for good old aggro decks. So.
Whispers of Emrakul. Have you seen this one? One in a black for a sorcery. Target opponent discards a card at random. Delirium, that opponent discards two cards at random. It's like a straight up Hindu Tarok with Delirium. I don't know. Maybe not good.
But, I mean, I've seen that card, but I think it's too slow to matter. But,
yeah, probably.
And like, Delirium is too slow.
One that does get played, though, is To the Slaughter.
I mean, that's a hell of a removal spell for your Esper Cycling deck. I think it's really good.
So, all right.
But, are you going to keep drowning on about cycling, or...?
Let's see. Do I have anything else related to cycling? Oh, yes, I do, of course. Here's one more before we change the topic here. New Perspectives is an enchantment. 5 and a blue for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards. Already fine, right? Already respectable. You play it in draft.
You play in draft, but I was about to say, you're going to need something else to make me want to pay 6 mana for that.
Oh, but you get it. You get something else. Okay. As long as there are 7 or more cards in your hand, it's a fluctuator. Cycling costs are 0. It's even better than a fluctuator, actually, because fluctuator reduces cycling by 2. This one straight up says cycling costs 0. So the costs that are like 1 white or 1 blue cost literally 0.
Or an EDH when you're playing Crows and Tusker, 2 and a green, stuff like that, yeah.
Right. And if you want to get into EDH, there are like decrees that cost like 5 mana to cycle. You could really abuse it that way.
Cycle Decree of Pain, Cycle Decree of Silence. Oh, yeah. Pact of Negation. Thank you.
And then there are also resounding spells that have like these really unreasonable cycling spell cycling costs. These are modern playable, actually. I don't know if this is a possibility. This is like way overkill for modern. But like think about like Resounding Silence is 3 and a white for exile target attacking creature. And then the cycling cost is 5 green, white, blue. It's 8. When you cycle it, exile up to 2 target attacking creatures. Now, that sounds like a ridiculous cost in like a total, like, you're going way out of your way to do that. But to pay 6 mana for an enchantment that says, like, 12 cards in your deck cost 0, draw you a card, and, like, exile 2 attacking creatures, and deal 6 damage to a creature or player, or bounce 2 permanents, that doesn't seem terribly, terribly bad, does it?
I mean, the problem is getting that 6 mana enchantment into play.
Right, yeah. You might as well
having 7 cards in your hand. You might as well just cast Hive Mind.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You might as well just win the game with Hive Mind plus Pact of Negation at that point, huh?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to pick one. I got one that I want to talk about.
All right, go ahead.
And this is the EDH / Dirtlefest player in me that just wants to talk about this, which is Approach of the Second Sun. It's a 6 and a white sorcery. If Approach of the Second Sun was cast from your hand, and you cast another spell named Approach of the Second Sun this game, you win the game. If not, you gain 7 life and put Approach of the Second Sun back into your library as the 7th card from the top.
you're talking specifically for EDH here.
You could like cheat this with Omniscience in Legacy. Or Modern, if you can get Omniscience to play in Modern. And you could play a very slow control deck with This is the Win Condition.
This is hilarious.
I did not
see this card.
So let me explain to you how this works. It says that to win the game, you have to have casted this spell once. So you can cast it from literal anywhere, from your graveyard, from your hand, from exile. If you have some sort of card that would cast spells from exile, that would do that. And it doesn't have to resolve the first time. So you could remand it, it could get negated or mana leaked or miscalced or censored or whatever. Doesn't matter. Still counts. You know, win count one. And then the second one has to be cast from your hand. Or second or more. So you could cast and it gets remanded, and that's fine. You can cast it the next turn. And then
Will be standard decks. There will be modern decks, in fact. I'm sure someone will do this. Seven cards from the top is doable, but...
Someone will try an Omniscience. Like, somebody will try an Omniscience this, I'm sure. I don't know a good way to put Omniscience to play in modern, but cards like Peer Through Depths are very good at getting through your library.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Omniscience was playable in Modern, it would already be played in Modern. I don't think we need Approach of the Second Sun for.
No, I don't. I don't think it's doable, but it looks cool, and I'm certainly gonna play this card in EDH.
But yeah, I definitely want to. I'll give this a shot in Standard. We'll make this happen. This is a really really poor condition.
I'm not gonna give this a shot in Standard. It's not good. I just. Like it.
Hey, seven like life? That's like a seven. Fog. That's like a really expensive fog.
That is a seven mana fog. You're correct.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Liliana, Death's Majesty, since we're on all the epic cards in this set. This the Liliana eating grapes that we talked about being a tutor spell. Remember we saw that art and we were like, oh, it's going to be just some like shitty uncommon or something. It's actually a freaking Liliana. So this is Liliana, Death's Majesty. And honestly, when I saw this one, I wasn't sure if it was like the set Liliana or the intro pack Liliana. 3BB for a 5 loyalty planeswalker. +1, create a 2/2 black zombie token and then put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard. -3, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. That creature is a black zombie in addition to its other colors and types. And then -7, destroy all non-zombie creatures. Daryl.
Okay. Thoughts? I mean, I'm in. Like, I don't know if it's going to be good, but I'm in. Like a planeswalker that makes 2/2s to protect itself is good.
Yeah.
I wish it made 2/2s instead of 1/2. Being able to reanimate big dumb creatures seems awesome. So you could create like a Cathartic Reunion reanimator shell instead of having to play a card like Furbish. So you can only play artifact bombs. You can play whatever big creatures you want and have this as your reanimate spell. And then if you get in a pinch, destroy all non-zombies and beat down. It seems pretty good.
Yeah, it does a lot of good stuff. It's one of the rare planeswalkers that doesn't just like outright like kill something. You know, I mean, obviously its ultimate does kill like a lot of stuffs.
Yeah, but can't just cast it and kill something.
But none of its like original abilities like kill something. And almost every single other planeswalker like either kills something or does damage to a player. This does neither of those. It just creates.
Yeah.
It
does something different. Yeah.
So that's I give props for that. And then the other thing is, it seems really clunky. And it seems like an intro pack planeswalker, not in its power level, because I will not doubt that this card is good. This card is good. This card is great.
Yeah, this seems powerful. I'm not gonna say it's
fun. But what it does, it seems very kind of
targeted
to me.
New players.
But yeah. Targeted new players. But this is an extremely powerful card. This is no doubt gonna get played in standard. Create a 2/2 zombie and then put the top 2 cards of your library for +1. That's an insane ability. That is nuts. Yeah. Go up to 6 loyalty, create a 2/2 zombie to block, and then you're already filling up your graveyard. Like that is extremely valuable to you. But the -3, like we are already accustomed to paying 5 mana for reanimate spells. So to get a reanimate spell and then be able to make a 2/2 and then do it again
and
the turn after.
Reanimate spell? Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so I mean what like I could see this going into green black delirium and just spamming Ishkenaz. Just like Ishkenaz. Oh, I turned over an Ishkenaz. Reanimate an Ishkenaz. Oh, you killed my Ishkenaz. Make an Ishkenaz. And then it just die. Which you're like, I have 11 spiders. Go.
Yeah. Yeah, this is pretty well on curve with the other Liliana, actually. You could probably go turn 3 Liliana, Minus yeah. that a couple times, fill up your graveyard, and then turn 5 Liliana, reanimate what you put in your graveyard. And it's probably going to be like a Gear Hulk of some sort, right?
Yeah. A Gear Hulk or an Ishkana, or even just reanimating a Tireless Tracker.
That would not suck either, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good value stuff in the middle that you can reanimate. And you can also just be a bag and reanimate the 11-11, or the 10-10, sorry, something-something Colossus.
Oh, yeah, Metalwork Colossus.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ishkana, like, that's a great example of, like, the ideal card to, like, just pop out, like, and put all the blockers. Like, you can never get past that, right? Liliana, yeah. reanimate Ishkana, you can never get past that. You're never beating that Liliana down.
Like, if you play the first Ishkana and they kill it, and then you play this and make the second Ishkana, and there's just so many spiders, it's just like,
Actually,
I can never get through.
Just thinking about that, Daryl, makes me cringe a little bit, because I foresee myself in exactly that situation time and time again in the coming months, and I'm just cursing Liliana Death's Majesty.
Trying to beat a couple of Ishkanas and some spiders and stuff? Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I could see that not being too fun.
That seems not too fun, but it's a thing. So then what do? You go over top. Unfortunately, your Drake tokens don't get there very well.
Dude,
so maybe you gotta continue on. Maybe you gotta continue on with an even larger flyer like Angel of Sanctums, for example, or Sanctions.
All right, I don't remember what this is. So.
All right, Angel of Sanctions is, and this is maybe not a good answer for exactly that situation, but that was my smooth transition. This is 3 and 2 white for a 3/4 flying. This is a mythic, by the way.
Yeah.
Angel of Sanctions enters the battlefield. You may exile target non-land permanent and opponent controls until Angel of Sanctions leaves the battlefield. Okay.
Yeah.
Stop. That's it. Plus, embalm, 5 and a white.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not excited by this.
It's very kind of like, it seems like it's missing one ability, doesn't it? Like, it just needs to have, like, lifelink or something. Like, it needs one more thing.
I feel like they could just take they couldn't take that line of text off of there. I was just say I feel like they could just take until Angel of Sanctions leave the battlefield that text off of there. But that would make it better than Angel of Despair. So no, they can't take that line of text off of there.
Yeah, that would probably be too good. We had an Archon that was a lot like this. What was that? Archon Justice or something?
Yeah.
Remember that guy? He when he died, he exiled a permanent, but his stats were better. He was 5 for a 4/4 flying. And then when he died, removed target permanent from the game. So he could even hit a land.
Yeah.
That guy's just a rare.
Yeah, this leaves a lot to be desired.
I mean, this thing like does have embalm. So maybe the embalm is just worth it. Like pitching it to something and then being able to embalm is kind of like drawing an extra card, you know?
I mean, this leaves me a lot to be desired. Like,
yeah. Now it's like, kind of cool with these embalm cards. If you scroll over them with your mouse, if you hover over them with your mouse, you can see the embalm tokens because they've actually made a specific token that's a zombie version of all of the embalm creatures. Did you know that?
So you know what would make me excited?
What?
If populate was a mechanic in this set.
And they did that.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Populate for the embalm tokens. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Oh yeah! Real interested in that.
That
right
would
now,
make for a pretty miserable limited environment.
It would not be fun for some people. I would agree.
We've got some really odd tribes in this set. We've got cats. We've got minotaurs. We've got snake cats.
I do want to backtrack to cycling for a minute.
Go ahead. I love cycling.
I totally missed the smooth transition that you provided me earlier.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad. And the card that I'm interested in is Dissenter's Deliverance. Just a common. 1 and a green, instant, destroy target artifact, cycling for green.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, you just said Teemer Tower is one of the better decks in Standard. Kills their win condition. Kills their Gear Hulk. Against the green-black deck, you can kill Walking Ballista. You can kill Gear Hulk. Against vehicles, you can kill all of the cars.
So it's main deckable, right? It's main deckable in any green deck.
Honestly, I think it is main deckable because, like, if you run into a situation where, like, your opponent just doesn't have an artifact, you can just pay a green, cycle it.
That's a great way to print a card that deals with a really, like really degenerate vehicles meta, you know? Well, like, to have that answer game one at 2 mana, instant speed, and then an answer that you could just be like, oh, this is not relevant in this game, and pitch it for something else. And it doesn't, like, slow you down against all of the other decks in the field, but it just, like, that one miserable matchup, you just have something for it, you know? I think this set does a really good job of answering a lot of those kinds of problems. Like, there are a lot of cards in here that are just clearly, like, geared towards, like, solving issues. And it's good to know that those things are coming. And I see, like, Standard being shaken up a lot with this.
Absolutely.
So that's a good one. It seems like a lot of these cycling cards, and it's kind of like the trend with cycling cards. If you really look back into the history of, like, cycling cards, a lot of them are, like... For that example, it's destroy target artifact. Whereas, you know, like, a similar card might say destroy target artifact or enchantment for a similar mana cost without cycling, right? So they're very specific in what they do, but then they have a cycling cost so that you can pitch them if you don't need them. So, for example, like, there's another black common in the set that says, I think it's 1 black mana, Scarab Feast. Instant speed, exile up to 3 target cards from a single graveyard. It could be extremely powerful in the right matchup where you really need to exile a card or 3 from a graveyard. But in most cases, it's like, okay, this is not relevant. But you can pitch it. You can cycle it for 1 black. So it's like the drawback of running that kind of card in your deck is not really a drawback at all, because in those matchups, it's like, okay, fine. My deck is already geared towards cycling, so it's fine for me. It's no problem for me to cycle this card anyway.
Is that card a playable graveyard hate card in Modern?
I don't doubt it. I think 1 black mana to do that is pretty great. But
is it an instant?
When you're on the, it is an instant, yeah.
I mean, I think that's playable.
It's not bad because you can cycle it and you can snapcast your mage later and then hit it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about, like, even just the effect. Like, fetch land, like, looting, dump your thing, you can eat their 3 things. Like, that seems pretty strong.
I think a lot of these are potentially playable in Modern. I think the cycling, like, gives them a lot of life. Like, Sensor, for example, I could see that getting played in some of these Modern control decks. That's the days with cycling.
Yeah. Force Spike would be the word you're looking for, but yeah.
Yeah, Force Spike. It's basically a worse reprint of Miscalculation. Or better.
Correct.
However you see it.
We all wanted Miscalc, but I mean, you know, we got the trade-off of the cycling is a little cheaper for the counter spell's a little worse.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think it's a fair trade.
All right. Let's talk about a really weird one. I have mixed feelings on this one. I really don't know where to go with it.
All right.
As Foretold, 2 and a blue for an enchantment. This is another mythic in blue. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a time counter on As Foretold. Note that it is not an option. You have to put a time counter on it.
Yep.
And then it says, once each turn, yours and your opponent's, you may pay 0 rather than paying the mana cost for a spell you cast with converted mana cost X or less, where X is the number of time counters on As Foretold. It's kind of like a strange Aether Vial.
Did you say X or less?
X or less. Yes.
Really? That's way too good.
You think so?
So every time I've read that card, I just thought it said X.
Converted mana cost X or less. Yeah, that's kind of... that kind of opens up the floodgates, doesn't it? So you invest a turn into playing it, where you're basically going to time walk yourself on turn 3, because you certainly don't want to be playing this late game. It doesn't really do anything for you if you've already got a bunch of mana, right? So ideally, you want to be playing this, like, as soon as possible. In which case, you're going to be tapping out to do it, right?
Sure.
So turn 3, you play it.
Yeah.
Turn 4, you get to play a 1-drop spell for free.
Ah, this is where you're doing it wrong, Corey.
What am I doing wrong? Explain.
I mean, you're correct in Standard. That's what you're doing.
Okay, so you're thinking in Modern.
Yeah.
Okay, so 0 mana, you get to play Ancestral Visions.
And then playing Restore Balance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. enjoy that.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty good.
Then you have Aether Vial, and your opponent does not have Aether Vial. Unless your opponent is actually playing Aether Vial. You can actually build... So, I'm going to feel really dumb for saying this. You can actually build, like, a bizarre control deck around that by eating, like... The question is, how do you get out from under your lands? Because if you can get rid of some of your lands or have less lands in play, you could, as foretold, balance, kill your lands, kill your opponent's lands, and then you have this Aether Vial that you get to cast spells with every turn as you rebuild, which your opponent doesn't. Ancestral Vision is probably the most likely use of it. Also, Living End, not an unreasonable use of it. All the other suspend cards are probably pretty bad. Curse of the Cabal might be a thing. Yeah, all the other ones are real bad, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome in Modern. Take advantage of those suspend cards.
Yeah.
I wonder if that becomes a deck. That's got to become a deck, right?
I mean, that's got to be a thing, right? Certainly.
I mean, purely, like, just merely doing As Foretold into Ancestral Vision seems good enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like it's on curve. So, like, you know, what you're looking at is you're like, okay, As Foretold into, like, Seer Visions on my opponent's turn, Path to Exile, into, like, Instant or Sorcery. So, like, you don't really have any two good sorceries, but you could cast another Seer Visions, and then, like, on your opponent's turn, you have, like, Negate and Mana Leak. And then, like, on your turn, when you get to turn three, it's when you're looking at, like, Lingering Souls, Esper Charm, Dissolve, stuff like that. And then turn four, you're looking at Supreme Verdict and Cryptic Command. And then after that, you know, your enchantment's kind of turned off. You can bounce it to reset it and, like, play it and then get an Ancestral Visions if you have another Ancestral Visions in hand and kind of do that.
Those are a lot of ifs, though, Daryl.
I mean, I'm just kind of looking at, like, what kind of play patterns can you engender with this?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the same is true. Like, Aether Vial is already, like, it runs you into situations where it's like you could draw, like, three Aether Vials and very few creatures, or, like, all your creatures are three drops, and then Aether Vial becomes really poor. This is even more of a risk because it's three mana to cast in the first place. It's not like you just put it out and, like, wait.
If all your creatures are three drops, Aether Vial is great.
Yeah, sure. All right. That's a bad example.
The problem is if you take your vial to three and then you have a bunch of two drops.
There you go.
You shouldn't have taken your vial up to three. So, I mean, there is some... But yeah, I agree that because it forces you to put a counter on it, it is a little worse. But at the same time, you can cast all the or less. That's why they put the or less on it, because you can keep casting these spells. It's not like you stop.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I read it that way, because if they didn't put or less on it, the card would be pretty fair, and you'd get, like, 10 mana worth of effects at maximum, and then it would be fine. But, like, being able to just keep, like, throwing your Ancestral Visions out when you draw them, or, like, once you get past turn four, like, the fourth turn with it in play, like, Cryptic Command is just a free magic card?
Yeah, that's nuts. That is crazy to think.
Yeah, so, like, there's one really important line of text that needs to be printed on this card, otherwise it's really... Oh!
You okay?
This works with flashback cards.
Yeah, so Snapcaster into anything, right? Is that how that works? Yeah,
I think so. Because it says you may pay zero rather than casting the spell.
No, it's the mana cost and not the flashback cost.
Oh, yeah, never mind. It doesn't work.
So you can get the Snapcaster for free, and then you pay the cost of the card again.
No, it says... A spell. Oh my god. You could just play like Gideons and stuff with this.
Yes. Yeah, you could.
My brain just exploded. You could just play creatures with this too. Oh my god, I feel so stupid.
I know.
This card's like, not as good as I thought.
All of the drawbacks you expect it to have, it doesn't, right? It's like all of the like kind of roadblocks that you are accustomed to seeing in something like this are not there. Like exactly X or like instants and sorceries, They're not there. It's just, it's totally open-ended.
Spell, yeah. Like,
it's a dangerous game we're playing here.
Like, my brain just totally defaulted in instant or sorcery. And so I was like, well, you can play detention spheres in your deck, but then that's bad because then you can't cast detention sphere with this thing.
Oh, yeah. No, sure, you can.
No, you can. It's definitely a thing you can do. I just didn't read the spell correctly. So, this card's real good. Maybe.
What do you think? Does this have any play in standard? That's my question. I
mean, you could. I'm not saying you. I'm not saying you will.
I think you'd really have to force it in standard. I think it could be really abused in modern. I don't think it's like the type of card that you just throw in like any deck and like it just is good because it's good. It's like the kind of card that you play because you want to like take advantage of like Ancestral Visions being free.
Yeah. So the problem is there are not any good free spells in standard.
Sure. Yeah. Or like, I mean, just purely like having like.
And
having free mana doesn't really benefit you much. Or maybe it does. I don't know.
I actually don't think this works with Ancestral Visions.
It does.
No, I don't think it does. Because if you read the text, it says once per turn, you may pay zero rather than the mana cost for a spell you cast. You can't cast Ancestral Vision.
But Ancestral Vision can be played with... Let's see. I thought I saw some confirmation that it does from a judge, but let me look that up right here. Cast Ancestral Vision for free. The turn it comes down. Next turn, blah, blah, blah.
I don't think so, because if you read, like, the rule text for Cascade, like, if we look at Shardless Agent, because Shardless Agent is a spell that can cast this. So if we look at the text on Shardless
Agent and the text... Here, I got it for you. Similarity to the Fist of Suns ruling, this card has no mana cost, which means it can't be cast normally as a spell. You could, however, cast it via some alternative means like Fist of Suns or Mind's Desire. So,
right,
yes.
But this is an alternative means. Because Fist of Suns says instead of paying, it's mana. This says rather than pay the mana cost.
All right. Well, let's do this off the cast, and we'll come back with that.
And I just want to point this out before we kind of step off of it, but it is worth noting. Like, if you look at Cascade, because the Shardless Agent we know can cast that thing, right? Cascade reads when you cast a spell, do the thing until you find the spell that costs less. You may cast it without paying its mana cost. Whereas this says you may pay zero rather than the mana cost.
Okay.
So I don't think this works with Ancestral Visions.
Okay. I would hope not.
Because if it did, oh boy. Oh boy. I do not think this is a thing.
Yeah, that seems like something that they'd have to go back and retroactively rule fix like they did the Breaking and Entering. But who knows?
Tell us if we're wrong. I could be wrong, but based on the way I'm reading it, I don't think I am. All right, I'm going to go on to the next card.
I've seen a lot of people saying that you can do it, but I take your word for it, Daryl, and we'll go with that now.
I want to see what the actual rules packet has for the judges.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, because based on the way I'm reading it, which could be completely wrong, it doesn't sound like it can. But I'm willing to admit fault if I'm wrong.
I've got three more. How many you got?
Two.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go next. This card is super interesting. I have no clue what the hell to do with it. I have no clue what it relates to. I know nothing. It's called Bounty of the Luxa.
Bounty of the Luxa. What does it do?
Bounty of the Luxa. 2 blue-green for an enchantment. At the beginning of your next pre-combat main phase, remove all flood counters from Bounty of the Luxa. If no flood counters were removed this way, put a flood counter on Bounty of the Luxa and draw a card. Otherwise, add 1 green-blue to your mana pool.
Alright. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
So there's a lot going on here. and I'm interested. But why does it do exactly what it does, and what is it related to? You know, that's the thing that I have to question. But I think it's really cool. So every other turn, you draw a card. It's like a Halley Mine every other turn, just for you. And then, so basically the way I read this is, it reads like this to me. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, choose one of these two abilities. Draw a card, add a green-blue colorless to your mana pool. You can't select the same ability two turns in a row. And so it always starts with draw a card.
Yeah, so it just flips.
You can't pick draw a card again. Yeah, it's just a switch that flips on and off. Always starts with draw a card, then the switch flips on and off. It's got to do something cool. I don't know what it is, but it's got to do something.
I have to share something with you, and I can't explain exactly the details of this right now, but Bounty of the Luxa, and a friend of mine told me about this, uses flood counters to determine if it's on or off, right? And there's a card called Quicksilver Fountain, which also uses flood counters. So on the Reddit Bad MTG combos, there's a combo using Bounty of the Luxa, Opalescence, Conspiracy, Life from Limb, and Quicksilver Fountain, a 5-card combo in 4 colors, to guarantee that you get 3 mana every turn from Bounty of the Luxa.
All right.
That's the result exactly of the combo.
Exactly what I wanted.
So there you have it. This is your legacy deck. mana invested, and you get 3 mana every turn.
Why? Why does this do exactly what it does?
That's hilarious.
The card design is so cool, and I'm stupid and I don't get it, and it makes me happy. But that's all I got.
It is cool.
It's
cool for EDH. It's cool for EDH. It's maybe cool for Standard. It's like a bad Planeswalker.
I don't know. I don't know what it's like. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, it's weird. I wish it would cost 3 mana.
That would be insane.
But we can't have everything, can we?
This isn't legendary.
No, it's not legendary. So you can cast one with the other one.
Yeah, so you can have them toggling on and off at the same time or at different times. Yeah, so you can always get one green, blue, and a card. That's interesting. I don't get it. I'm stupid. I don't get it.
Oh, you're not stupid, Daryl.
This is a skill testing card, and I think I'm failing because I really like it, but it's probably too. All right, anyways, onward.
All right. Okay, so are there these Aftermath cards? There are a couple of Aftermath cards that came out, I think, today. A couple of them were spoiled today. Some of them, really got me excited for Standard. Like, a lot of them are removal spells. And Never to Return is a sorcery speed, destroy target creature or planeswalker for 1 colorless black.
Why can't they just make Heroes Downfall, man?
It's kind of like Heroes Downfall, but it's a sorcery. But it has Aftermath. Aftermath for 3 and a black. Exile target creature, target card from a graveyard. Create a 2/2 black zombie token. So it's okay.
I got two qualms with this. And both of them are going to sound super degenerate, and I don't care.
Yeah.
One, why could it never be an instant? Seriously.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too good, I don't think. Because return is just bogus. It's, useless.
Why couldn't return, be, a surgical extraction that gave you a 2/2?
Ooh, that would be cool. That would be really cool.
Is that too good? On curve and they're stapled to each other? I think that might be
too good. That would probably be too good, yeah. That would be,
I don't know. I've never seen a 4-mana surgical extraction before. It's not name a card and do the thing. It's just target a card in the graveyard, do the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so the exile card is relevant. It's not just a thing you have to do. It's it doesn't say creature card, remember. So you can exile another Aftermath card from your opponent's graveyard or summon Balm creature. So that's relevant.
Aftermath, it comes off Delirium. I know. But would it be so wrong to make that a surgical? I don't know.
Or at least return could be an instant. Return could be an instant.
Yeah, that could be true, and I'd be okay with it.
I think that would be a fair trade-off. So, I don't know. It's good that we got this card, because we do need something that just straight-up kills a Planeswalker in Standard. And at least, or at most at 3 mana, we need something cheaper than 4.
Guess what it doesn't kill?
What does it not kill? It doesn't kill Heart the damn Kieran. Token that Gideon leaves behind? Yeah, it doesn't kill Heart of Kieran. You're right.
But Articuren and other various cars because nonsense.
Let's leave it behind. I just wanted to mention that it existed. But here's the one that I'm really excited about. And this one reminds me of Fire and Ice purely because it's a split card in blue and red. It's not really nothing like Fire and Ice. Reduced to rubble. Two and a blue for an instant. Counter target spell unless it's controller pace. Three. Already, I like it.
Two and a blue mana leak. All right.
Two and a blue for a mana leak, yep. And then rubble is a sorcery for two and a red. Up to three target lands don't untap during their controller's next untap step. That could functionally just, like, time walk your opponent if you get the right lands. If they're on a multicolored deck and you hit their, like, only sources of red or only sources of black, like, against Saheeli combo, you could easily time walk them with that.
I mean, I'm in.
Isn't that great? The card's awesome. Reduce is so playable.
I think this is great.
It's an uncommon, too.
I think this is he plays, like, a two of. I don't think it'll be, like, a quad laser best card in standard, but, like,
this is play. I would play three. it totally depends on the deck. I don't know. I like it a lot.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
If you cast Torrential Gearhulk.
Yes.
Can you target either one and cast either one? Or can you only cast the half that Torrential Gearhulk can legally
target? You can only target the instant. And this is the rule that was changed in the last update that we got last week.
And this is why they changed the rule.
Yeah, that was the, you know, quote-unquote, the reason that they changed the rule. But it was also, like, it was also, like, the reason that they changed the rule, which allowed them to change the rule so that they could deal with other problems.
Yeah, I think it's fine. All right, I just need to understand. I'm good now.
Okay, and then I got one last one.
Me too.
Okay, last one. You go ahead.
All right, I got Vizier of the Menagerie. Three and a green for a 3/4 Naga Cleric. You may look at the top card of your library. You may do this anytime. You may cast the top card of your library if it's a creature card. You may spend mana as though it were mana of any type to cast creature spells.
I love that guy. He's like Oracle of Maldai for creatures.
No. He's better.
Okay. He's better.
You know why, right?
Because the creature could be Dryad Arbor.
No, you can't cast Dryad Arbor. What? Because you don't reveal the top card of your library.
Oh, sure,
look at it. So your opponent doesn't know? Yeah, your opponent doesn't know if you have a creature. So
that's
you can
nice.
Look and be like, surprise, Torrential Gearhulk. Or like, surprise, Noxious Gearhulk, kill your guy, attack you for three. Like, if there were like very good flash creatures in standard, this guy would be a nightmare. Like, an
absolute
sensor. Nightmare. Like, that's not a good flash creature. I'm talking about like a super impactful, like, if there were other cards than just Torrential Gearhulk, like, that were just good, like if Yavin Nature's Herald was a standard legal card, this guy would be a freaking nightmare.
Yeah, Spellqueller.
Oh, that's a really good one. Yeah, good call. Like Archangel Avison off the top of my deck. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Like
he's like a bant.
Oh boy. Yeah. Like this guy is very. I think it's a lot stronger than people think it is.
Yeah, he's kind of. A big investment on the front end, though.
Yeah, the first time your opponent gets blown out by Archangel Avison off the top of your deck, they're just going to flip the table.
Right.
Because you don't have to reveal the card until you cast it.
Yeah, a 3/4 for 4 is pretty sizable, too. Whereas Oracle of Maldai was like a 2/2 for 4. Like, those kind of stats in standard would not be...
It survives hardest if your opponent has no it.
Right, so, I mean, which is never, but...
There could be a situation. Like, it survives a Dynavolt power shot.
Yeah.
Which is a thing. Like, your opponent can't just use one shot of Dynavolt tower to knock it down. And, like, this can be a nice card advantage for your, like, green X deck. Like, you could just play, like, Thraven Inspectors off the top of your library and draw clues, or cast your Tireless Tracker off the top and then play a land from your hand and make a clue and draw a card. And if it's a creature, you can just leave it on top of your deck. So it's just like, there's a lot of things that you can do with this.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think it's a lot cooler than people give it credit for.
Like, it looks cool. He's got a freaking cobra head.
It looks amazing. Like, I also want to play this card in EDH in, like, a deck full of giant creatures and just, like, surprise Ulamog off the top of my deck and someone just go, really? This is what's happening right now? Like, yeah. Surprise Ulamog? Okay. But yeah, I don't know if it's good, but I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, the last one, and we managed – my last one is not Gideon. We managed to not talk about Gideon this week, so we'll save him for next week. He's obviously really good. And there's, I'm sure we could have a long discussion about what we could do with Gideon, so we'll spare it. But I do want to mention we also managed to not talk about the gods, so we'll save those for next week. But it seems now that we've got enough spoiled, there is no black god in this set. We have two black mythics. We've got Liliana and Cruel Reality, so there's no black god. There is one green mythic yet to be spoiled, so that's probably going to be the god, but I don't know.
Nico Bolas is the black god, obviously.
Nico Bolas is the black god. Okay, so does that suggest that he's going to be mono black then?
I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
He just might be. I don't know.
We'll see.
Or maybe he's going to be a gold card
Maybe he killed the black god. I don't know. Speculation over. Continue.
All right. But my last one here is the Soul Scar Mage, which is one red for a 1/2 prowess, and it is a rare, which already is great. Sure. One red for a 1/2 prowess looks a little bit like a monastery mentor that I know. It says, if a source you control will deal non-combat damage to a creature an opponent controls, put that many -1/-1 counters on that creature instead.
Okay, so what you're telling me is this guy's really good with Walking Ballista.
This guy is really good with Walking Ballista. This is like, we are really, really pushing our one drops these days. We can't just be satisfied with an uncosted one drop that has prowess. We need to tag in another ability on there. Let's give all our spells wither. How about that?
I mean, I don't hate it. I like Pyroclasm with Wither. Like,
yeah, that's really good.
Like Radiant Flames with Wither. Ding.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really cool. And then we've got Magma Spray in this set. Magma Spray then becomes, like, much more relevant late game. Whereas, like, Magma Spray is great against creatures with 2 toughness. And then later on, it's like, yeah, we might be able to trade up a small creature with a Magma Spray involved. Now, in this case, if you get Soul Scar Mage, you can just shrink a big creature. And then that's fair enough, right? Yeah, and then block, right?
Yeah, like, if it's a 4/4, you can shoot it with a Magma Spray, shrink it, and then block it with Soul Scar Mage, and your guy lives.
And that guy actually becomes a plausible defense creature later on, which is just crazy to think, as a 1-drop in red.
This guy's just a plausible, like, as bizarre as it sounds, this guy's just not, like, a Teemer Tower creature. Just, like...
Yeah, he is a fine Teemer Tower creature.
Yeah, like, you just play this guy in Teemer Tower, and it's just like... I mean, like, your Harness Lightning gives your opponent's guys -3/-3. And, like, if you play Radiant Flames, your opponent gets annihilated by it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, like, of all the red, like, aggressive creatures, he's got, like, the best chance of getting through Ishkanaan babies, you know? Like, the Ishkanaan itself.
Like, if you Radiant Flames and Ishkanaan with this on board, it makes your opponent's Ishkanaan 0/2. So you can just, like, crush your way through it.
Right. That's scary. Yeah. He's a 1/2 attacking. This seems really unassuming. You play Kozilek's Return.
That's a good one.
Kozilek's Return is even better, right? Because that'll kill all the babies. He survives it, becomes a 2/3. Ishkanaan needs one more point to die then. So you have to cast another instant or sorcery.
Oh, creature and opponent controls. Wowie. It does not affect
him. No, yeah, he survives. He survives.
Oh boy, this card is real dumb. I read it as if it deals damage to a card creature and opponent controls, like it affects all the creatures that are damaged by that spell. Oh boy. This guy's a really good control creature. Like, I don't know if people are gonna play it that way. Like, holy crap, this makes red removal actually do stuff.
He makes me think, like, kind of like red-blue tempo, like a la Delver, you know? Like, He plays like a pretty good monastery mentor impression in that way, but also like even further incentivizes you to play like just like protect the queen style. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to load up with like a bunch of creatures and just like get aggressive. Like, you could just have like a few creatures and those few creatures being like Soul Scar Mage and then just like a bunch of burn and like control spells. And that seems fine with this guy.
Torrential Gear Hulks.
And like Torrential Gear Hulks. Like, that seems like a great deck. Just like, I'm thinking back to like the,
I would almost play Teemer like with Rogue Refiner and play Teemer Tower. Like, this guy, Torrential Gear Hulk, Rogue Refiner.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, Teemer Tower. Yeah, the tower would be great.
I literally just said that and you ignored me.
Yeah, but I guess when you said it, Daryl, I was thinking of like the deck and not the card. But that
this card in with Dynavolt Tower,
And I don't know, I just said team. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. He's great in like the deck, but I'm thinking like the tower itself now being like having Wither, like that's even better. you only tap it one time.
It does affect the tower.
It's non-combat damage. Tap, put 3-1 counters on a creature seems pretty good.
Is there a planeswalker that deals Chandra?
Yeah, Chandra deals will do it.
Four damage and withers. That's not unreasonable. It can chop down the creature that your opponent put the counters on with the Gear Hulk. Like, you can hit that creature with Chandra and it no longer has the counters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you have it. That was my last card. There's more that I want to talk about in this set. We didn't even get to the cartouches. Those things look awesome, and there's plenty of design space there as far as like building a deck goes. Some of them are so good. They're like, there's just like straight up like Chainer's Edict cartouches and like 4 mana, draw 3 cards, discard a card, and Trial of Knowledge. Like, there's so many things I want to do with these cartouches. They're awesome. But we'll spare it because we're already at an hour. And I know that we want to talk a little bit about this Star City Games Open, which happens to be Legacy. So hit me. What do you got? Miracles 1.
Miracles OP. That's basically top 8. Miracles, Grixis Delver, Reanimator, Mono Red Sneak Attack, Elves, Blue-Green Eldrazi Post, Miracles Infect.
So same old. Is that what you're telling me?
No, there's some like random wafts that you don't see normally, like Blue-Green Eldrazi Post.
Yeah, this is cool.
Infect is kind of weird. Eldrazi Stompy is common, but not crazy common. Food Chain just picked up a resurgence because it got a new win condition in Walking Ballista. So I'll kind of walk you through the Food Chain deck and kind of explain what it's trying to do.
All right. By the way, just to pause for a second, that was a pretty abrupt transition on my part, and I apologize for that, but we are talking about the Star City Games Legacy Open in Wooster. Is that how you say it? Wooster?
Wooster, yeah.
And it was a Legacy, like I said. We do have Classics and Standard and Modern as well, but we were talking about the main event Legacy. There was a Classic Legacy as well, which I think is maybe more exciting. We could talk about that one, too.
I'll walk through the Food Chain deck and we can hop over that one.
All right.
So this deck is based on a 3-mana green enchantment called Food Chain. It says, remove a creature you control from the game, add X mana of any one color to your mana pool, where X is the removed creature's converted mana cost plus 1. So this mana can only be spent to play creature spells. So that card works with Eternal Scourge and Mist Hollow Griffin. So if you play Mist Hollow Griffin, you exile it with Food Chain, you get 5 mana. If you make blue mana, you can cast Mist Hollow Griffin from exile, and you can make infinite mana to cast creature spells. And so with your infinite mana to cast creature spells, you can cast Walking Ballista for an arbitrarily large number and arbitrarily large your opponent's face.
Wow. Hey,
so
that looks fun.
So that's how the deck is winning. The deck is 4 Walking Ballista, 4 Deathrite Shaman, 4 Baleful Strix, 1 Eternal Scourge, 2 Leovold, Emissary of Trest, which is a very busted creature. It's a soul tie. Each opponent can only draw more than one card per turn. So you draw on your draw step, that's it. Your brainstorms draw you 3 cards, and by 3 I mean 0, and then put 2 cards on top of your deck. Your ponders look at the top 3 cards of your library, shuffle your library, and then do nothing. This card is very good against the blue combo decks. 3 Mist Hollow Griffin, and then Brainstorm, 4 Brainstorm, 3 Ponder, 4 Abrupt Decay, 3 Manipulate Fate, which is search your library for 3 cards, exile them, then shuffle your library, draw a card.
Oh.
So they're literally there to exile your Mist Hollow Griffins so that you can draw Food Chain and like go off. And then 20 lands of various varieties that make mana. And then the sideboard is 2 Carver Flowers, which is during one of your main phases, at the beginning of your main phase, once per turn, you can add X mana of any one color to your mana pool, where X is the number of islands your opponents control. So very good against blue decks. 2 Fatal Push, a Flusterstorm, a Pithy Needle, a Relic of Regenitus, 2 Surgical Extraction, 3 Thoughtseize, a Diabolic Edict, an Engineered Plague, and a Toxic Deluge. So.
Yeah, man. Hey, do you know how much Food Chain is on Modo right now?
It's like $50 in real life.
50 tickets on Modo. It's 40. It's Modo. 42 in paper and 50 on Modo. Can you believe that?
It's only been printed once in Mercadian Masks. Why?
Yeah, but I think it just shot up because of this, deck, kind of being exciting. Yeah, and so that card is expensive, and then Leovold is also like a 50 ticket card now.
Leovold's only released in the treasure chest.
He is in the treasure chest, and that's the only place you can get him, right?
Well, only from the treasure chest.
Now, they do, like, increase the frequency of cards like him.
They do need to because of the fact that you need to get Leovold in circulation.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Anyways.
You said you wanted to talk about the Legacy Classic.
Yeah, like, let's just look really quick. Let me pull that up. I'm not currently there. But the Legacy Classic in Wooster. Death and Taxes 1. Shardless Sultai, Storm, 4 Color Loam, Miracles, Grixis Delver, Miracles, Storm, Green Black Depths, and Food Chain. If I was playing Legacy, I would like, with unlimited budget, I should say. I'd be playing Death and Taxes. This deck is like such a fun, it's like a puzzle to play. Like, these cards, they're so fun to play. I'm sure it's not fun to play against.
I'm going to go over the basic strategy and kind of we'll go through the deck list. So yeah. The basic strategy, Death and Taxes, is this is welcome to Legacy, bad Legacy names class. It's a mono white deck that eventually beats you, but it sometimes took so long back, you know, in the old days before Stoneforge Mystic, that they would say that there are only two things in life that are guaranteed, and that's death and taxes. And so that's why they called this deck Death and Taxes. Very poor name now, but basically just mono white weenie. So it uses Rashad Import Wasteland to constrict your mana. Rashad Import taps and you pay a mana to tap one of your opponent's lands. Wasteland, obviously, you know, one of the more famous cards in Legacy, destroys a non-basic land, so your dual lands that people are playing. So using those cards, you can constrict your blue opponents alongside Thalia, Guardian Thraven, to keep them from casting their Brainstorms, and their Ponders, and their Force of Wills, to sort of pull just far enough in the head in the game that you can squeak your opponent out with, you know, some random white creatures that beat down. And so this deck is 3 Phyrexian Invoker, which is there just because since his Divine Top is so powerful. Turns off Planeswalkers and Top and Equipments and all kinds of various different things. Sneak Attack. 4 Flicker Wisp, which is just the best card in the deck. 2 Mirror Crusader, 4 Mother of Runes, 2 Recruiter of the Guard, 2 Sanctum Prelate, which is the you can't cast spells with the converted mana cost named. 2 Saravenger, 4 Stoneforge, 4 Thalia, 10 Plains, 2 Caverns, 4 Port, 4 Wasteland, 3 Caracas. 4 Aether Vial, a Batter Skull, a Sword of Fire and Ice, 4 Swords of Plunchers, a Numazawa's Jeet, and then a Pithy Needle, a Sword of War and Peace, a 2 Aethersworn Canonist, a Fairy Macabre, a Lean and Relic Order, 2 Rest in Peace, 2 Path to Exile, a Surgical Attraction, 2 Gideon Allies in the car, and 2 Council's Judgment. So this deck is suspiciously void of one of the normal sideboard cards that you would see against Miracles and various fair decks, which is Cataclysm, which is every player picks a land, creature, artifact, enchantment they control, sacrifices everything else.
Now, is this deck always mono white? And
yes,
it's typically there mono are white some, in Legacy.
So it's typically mono white. There are some variants that have been splashing red for Mage of the Moon and Imperial Recruiter. But now that you have Recruiter of the Guard, you don't need Imperial Recruiter because Recruiter of the Guard also tutors up your best creature, which is Flicker Wisp. But you do lose out by not playing red on Magus of the Moon and Sudden Impact, I think it is. It's a commander card. It's like red X. Choose a color. Deal X damage to all creatures of the chosen color. Because this deck really struggles against elves. Because elves can get underneath your ports and wastelands and put creatures that make mana into play. And then like put more creatures than you can get into play into play. And then use them to make mana to make a crater hoof and kill you. But so that is a kind of a strategy that this deck struggles with. So being able to play a card like Sudden Impact or Sudden Demise, I can't remember what it's called. It's a commander card that just kills all of your opponent's little creatures in a color is very useful. So
I think it's Sudden Demise.
Sudden Demise. That sounds right.
Yeah, Sudden Demise.
Yeah, you can see that their main deck is sort of War of Fire and Ice and playing a bunch of flyers because the deck struggles with Treant Nemesis also. Like if you can get a GK on Treant Nemesis, your opponent's probably going to lose if they're playing this deck. Just because between the counters with the counters on Jite, you can kill almost every creature in Death Indexes. So you're trying to get equipment on a Flicker Wisp or a Sarah Avenger and go over the top of it. Or you're just trying to put a Sword of Fire and Ice on one of your creatures and attack past it. In which case they have to build up a bunch of Jite counters and blast your guy, or they just can't attack and they can't block it, so they have to just keep attacking. So it's like a race that you can usually depending on who gets the first strike.
I've been playing the modern Death and Taxes, the Eldrazi and Taxes, which is the black-white version. And that deck is a lot of fun.
Very much so.
It is like kind of a skill tester because it challenges you to figure out which of your creatures to prioritize at different moments in the game. And certain things like punish different decks in different ways. And like cards like Thalia obviously have limited play against certain decks, but maybe have the upside of just purely being like a 2/1 first striker, and you can kind of take advantage of that. But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, I kind of have to use my non-creature spell to get rid of something. So taxing myself on my Path to Exiles and my Aether Vials right now is maybe not the best plan. So lots of decisions to make.
This deck with Aether Vial in play and active is a nightmare. Because you never know what can come flying out of your opponent's hand when they put that on two. It could be a Thalia to slow you down on your upkeep. It could be a Stoneforge Mystic at end of turn to get a Batterskull. And then they can untap and be able to activate it and then tick their Vial up to three and put a Flicker Wisp into play or a Marin Crusader or a Recruiter of the Guard or a Sanctum Prelate. So there's just a lot of stuff going on here with you never know what's going to come flying out of your opponent's hand when they activate their Vial. You can usually get a good idea just based on the texture of the game. But oftentimes, I've seen myself playing Miracles, playing against Death and Taxes a lot, and just looking at my hand and going, I can't ever win this game if my opponent has a Flicker Wisp for their Aether Vial with a Vial in three. And you and just like four cards in hand, you're like, well, I hope they don't have a Flicker Wisp. And you cast your spell and they have a Flicker Wisp. You're just like, well, I knew I was dead to a Flicker Wisp. So you just shrug and lose the game. So, yeah. Very skill testing deck to play both with and against.
Nice. You have anything else for Legacy here?
Nah, man, I didn't see anything else that jumped off the page at me.
All right, well, meanwhile in Modern, for the Classic, Fatal Push is officially the most played card. 43% of decks, 24 copies in the top 16.
Nice. I saw a deck that jumped right off the page for me.
Yes, Mono Black Zombies, perchance?
Was there Mono Black Zombies?
Yeah, Mono Black Zombies in the top 6.
Whoa, I didn't even see that. I just like glanced right by that. That is not the deck that jumped off the page for me.
Yeah, we'll go to this list. But yeah, you're right. Blue Black Fairies is also making a comeback, and it's not just in this event. In the dailies, in the 5-0s and dailies too. But yeah, let's take a look at this Black Zombies and then look at these Fairies list first.
Yeah,
dude, after that, I should say. But Mono Black Zombies, 3 Crypt Breaker, which is a standard card. Apparently not just. 4 Gravecrawler, 4 Bloodghast, 4 Gifted Aetherborn, which is 2 for a 2/3 Death Touch Lifelink, the Aetherborn zombie from the most recent
set. It's not a zombie. It's a vampire.
Oh, it is a vampire. It's not even a zombie. Wow, okay. 4 Relentless Dead, 3 Geralt's Messenger, 1 Kalidus, 1 Grey Merchant, 1 Lily of the Vale, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Thoughtseize, 2 Collective Brutality, 2 Dismember, 4 Bloodstained Mire, 3 Mutavault, Urborg, Swamps, blah, blah, blah. Sideboard, bunch of stuff, some damnations, Lashwraith in the sideboard.
Yeah.
Some Phyrexian obliterators in the sideboard.
Oh, yeah, I can get behind this deck.
And four Ghost Quarters.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't play this deck, but I'm in.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of black mana symbols for Grey Merchant.
I have no patience for playing, like, aggressive decks. Couldn't play this deck. But it looks like a nightmare, because between, like, Bloodghast and Relentless Dead, there's just so many recursive threats. It's freaking annoying.
Yeah, man. And Gravecrawler.
Oh, yeah. Gravecrawler. Jesus.
Yeah, there's a lot to do with your mana. I would be tempted to play the new Liliana in this one to just start filling up my graveyard. But apparently, like, you got to, like, increase your zombie count. You know, like, you don't want to be running too many less than 24 creatures in order to make sure that you're going to be putting things on the table. Relentless Dead is cool. I've played this guy in Standard. It's kind of tricky, though, because he is, like, super mana intensive. And on his own, he's pretty lame. But 2-2 Menace.
When you have Geralt's Messenger in the mix, like, just not doing anything on a turn, and then, like, they kill your Relentless Dead, and you're like, all right, I'll pick it up, and I'll pay 3 mana and put my Geralt's Messenger into play. Take 2.
Well,
you're just like, oh, I don't care, okay. Like,
yeah, well, Geralt's Messenger can also be Path to Exile, and then it's like you really don't do anything.
It can be, but, like, if you're not playing Path to Exile, you're going to have a hell of a time beating that card.
That's true.
Like,
yeah, this is, like, can't block the deck.
Can't block, won't block, just kill him.
So Liliana probably dies a lot for that reason, but Kalidus blocks pretty well.
He does.
That's the plus side. Gifted Aetherborn blocks pretty well.
He can also cash in every one of your creatures for +2 counters.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
Is he a vampire zombie?
He is a vampire warrior, but he makes zombies.
Oh, if he was a zombie, you'd be getting back with Relentless Dead. And that would be the nuts, but unfortunately not that lucky.
If you reanimate him with the new 5-mana Liliana, he becomes a zombie.
Not making this deck, bro.
And then you could at least tap him with Cryptbreaker.
Good.
I'm not sure that Mutavault helps you very much in this deck, but I see, like, when you have to run Urborg for that purpose, right? But, like just about every card is just purely black mana symbols in the casting cost, so it's tough to run three
Mutas. Mutavault's Cryptbreaker.
Because what?
Cryptbreaker.
Yeah, sure. Right, I mean, there are lots of reasons to play it, but I'm just saying, like don't draw the hand that has 3 Mutavaults and then a bunch of, like, non-lands, you know, because you can't do anything.
The double Mutavault, no Urborg would be really rough. Yeah, I agree.
So, all right. There you go. There's a deck.
Blue-back
fairies. Okay, go ahead.
2 Snapcaster, 4 Spellstunner Sprite, 3 Vendilion Click, 2 Mistbinding Click, 3 Liliana the Veil, not something I expected in Blue-Black Fairies. 4 Fatal Push, 4 Inquisition, 2 Thoughtseize, 2 Go from the Throat, 2 Mana Leak, a Dismember, 3 Cryptic Command, 4 Bitter Blossom, 3 Tar Pit, 3 Dark Slick Shores, 1 Drowned Catacomb, 3 Island, 4 Mutavault, 4 Polluted Delta, 3 Secluded Glen, a Swamp, 2 Watery Grave, and then a 13-card sideboard!
Maybe that's his lucky number.
2 Ancestral Vision, an Engineered Explosives, a Dispel, 2 Cyclical Extraction, 2 Collective Brutality, a Go for the Throat, 2 Negate, 2 Damnation. Just didn't need 2 other cards! Could have played double Megatog and it would have been fine. God damn it.
Yeah.
Deck is sweet. I'm not a huge fan of 4 Mutavaults in my Cryptic Command deck.
Yeah, dude, it's a little suspect, but this is kind of like the story of Blue-Black Fairies.
Yeah, you're just like, well, I got these 4 Mutavaults in my triple blue deck. Alright.
Yeah.
I want to cast mono black spells on turns 1 and 2. So, whatever.
Yeah, there's another guy that plays 13th with Blue Black Fairies. Totally different deck. And that's kind of the case, too. Is like, none of these lists are anywhere near the same, but they all have the same core of, like, having, like, a number of Spellstutter Sprites and a number of Vendilion Clicks, maybe some Mistbind Clicks, and then 4 Bitter Blossoms.
4 Bitter Blossom, 4 Mutable, yeah. Well, Spellstutter Sprite is the only reason you're playing fairies. If you're not playing 4, but you're doing it wrong.
Right. But they don't all necessarily play Mistbind Click, do they?
No.
I've seen some that kinda don't.
Yeah. Mistbind Click's the one you can kind of offset because it is awkward. Because if you don't have Bitter Blossom, you don't have a good fairy that sticks around that you can champion. But if you can champion a fairy with Mistbind Click, like Mistbind Click is sort of the card that puts your opponent in like the fairy's lock is what I call it. Where like, what do? Do you attack into your opponent, go to combat and attack, and then have your opponent flash in Mistbind Click, tap all your lands so you can't play stuff in main phase two, and then kill one of your guys? Or do you cast your spell into Cryptic Command and maybe get your team tapped and just lose a race?
Yeah, it is worth noting that you can Mistbind Click your Bitter Blossom because it is a tribal fairy enchantment.
Also, Mistbind Click your Mutavolts.
And your Mutavolts, there you go, yeah.
Yep, so you have 15 fairies.
If there's some like really spicy tech where you want to Mistbind Click your own spell setter sprite and then Fatal Push your Mistbind Click, you can counter a spell with your spell setter sprite.
That's definitely a thing I've done before.
What would you say?
That's definitely a thing I've done before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that. I think we've got a lot of information for you to digest today. Like I said, next we've got to talk about this Gideon. It's exciting.
Gideon and gods.
Lots of Gideon the gods, yeah. And then these cartouches. Maybe it would be nice to try to brew something up with these cartouches because there's something there. I'm convinced there's something there.
I mean, they're forcing it. I'll tell you that much.
They are forcing it. 5-color cartouche control. Taking down standard. Ready?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Talk to you later. Card Knock Life is proud to be a part of mtgcast.com. We can be reached at cardknocklifepodcast.com or on Twitter at card_knock_life. We're always looking for more help in generating content for the website, and if you'd be interested in doing so, please email at cardknocklifepodcast@gmail.com.